Hello, everyone. This is the Final Play Podcast, where we're talking about NFL Week 2. Don't forget to follow us on all the socials, that being SoundCloud, Facebook, and, of course, Twitter, at the Final Play Pod. That's at the Final Play Pod.
Let's do it.
Welcome, everyone, to the Final Play Podcast. NFL Week 2 is under the books. Under the books. There's a very, very mixed amount of games. We'll run through the scores right now. The Buckeyes beat the Panthers 20-14. The Cowboys over the Redskins 31-21. The Indianapolis Colts just getting over the Tennessee Titans 19-17. The Seahawks putting the Pittsburgh Steelers in the 0-2 start, 28-26. The Buffalo Bills on a 2-0 start, beating the New York Giants 28-14. The Patriots doing what every team seems to be probably going to do to the Dolphins this year, 43-0. The Jags just coming down to the Texans, 13-12. The Packers are 21-16 over the Minnesota Vikings. The Detroit Lions are winning over the LA Chargers 13-10. San Francisco 49ers demolishing the Cincinnati Bengals 41-17. The Ravens just getting over the Cards 23-17. The Chiefs are getting over the Oakland Raiders, pretty competitive, 28-10. LA Rams beating the New Orleans Saints 27-9. The Chicago Bears defeating the Broncos 16-14. The Philadelphia Eagles are losing just to the Atlanta Falcons 24-20. And
it's the game nobody wanted to win.
And the Monday night game, or Tuesday if you're in Australia, the Cleveland Browns getting up for two, their first win, 23-3. So, thoughts, we'll just go over sort of the key sort of games that we were looking at. Do you want to start with the first one you just said boo to?
No, not really. I don't think we need to talk about that game too much.
We probably need to talk about your quarterback.
Teddy Bridgewater. They couldn't really be helped. Like, he got hit by the unblockable man. So, Aaron Donald just come blasting straight up the middle, and as Breeze was on the follow through, exactly. did a bit of a tackle on him. hit him flush in the hand on the follow through, and straight away he sort of went off, and he couldn't grip the football. Had it taped up. Stood on the sidelines, and as soon as he tried to pick up the ball and he couldn't pick it up, then that was pretty much his afternoon done. After seeing a hand specialist in LA today or yesterday, I think it was yesterday, American told him, thumb surgery and 6 weeks.
6 weeks, And then. Who's to say, like, obviously Drew Brees going off, Alvin Kamara and your Michael Thomases of the world didn't do their high efficiency rates. Michael Thomas only getting 89 yards and Alvin Kamara only really getting 45 yards with 13 carries. But
I love that. Only 89 yards for Michael Thomas, and we call
it just sets
the expectations.
Of course, because he's just at that, obviously after his massive contract, but he's a guy that's pretty consistent. So,
of course he is.
My question then is, Teddy's just come in. Obviously, he probably hasn't trained. Yes, he probably trains with these guys, but not game time situation. So, can they turn it around next week? can Teddy Bridgewater, or I guess the next 6 weeks, can your Michael Thomases and your Alvin Kamaras of the world play with Teddy Bridgewater?
Once Teddy goes into this week of practice, he'll be getting all the number one. He'll be getting all the reps with number one. So, he's got to start developing chemistry and rapport with the big guns. So, excuse me. He needs to. Unfortunately, it's got to be fast tracked. Unfortunately, there's no ifs or buts about it. They've got the Seahawks in Seattle next week, and then they've got Dallas in New Orleans the week after. So it's a baptism of fire straight up. So he's just got to get the job done. Unfortunately as well, and that it also puts under lock and key the little gadget plays that that Sean Payton likes to run with Taysom Hill as well. You didn't really see a lot of those. A lot of those little gadget plays that he likes to sort of throw in there, which sort of just to sort of confuse everybody a little bit. And they're super effective. But that's got to be put in the bag for the meantime. So it'll just be interesting to see how, as long as they don't look terrible. And also Saints as well, lost Alex Elizone as well. He's been put on the IR. So that's at least 8 weeks. And from what I read, and I tried to find as much info as possible before we did this, and all I could get was unspecified injury. So that is superb journalism by other people. So I'll blame them for that. But in looking up his injury history, he's had a lot of shoulder issues. So I'm just going to go out there and assume that it's going to be another shoulder issue, but it is football. It could be anything.
But full credit to LA Rams. I mean, Cooper Kupp doing his first 100-plus yards receiving game since 2018. So
if they had Cooper Kupp last year, they put up a lot better fight against New England in the Super Bowl. Correct. And they probably beat New Orleans legit in the NFC Championship game, because he's unbelievable, man. Like he's Goff. I think him and Goff have got a really good rapport with each other. Like he's a genuine number one.
Yeah, and I mean, and look, Jared Goff's got a plethora of options
between Cups and Brooks,
and Robert Woods is a decent option. Gurley can catch a Todd Gurley can catch a ball. So
they've got a couple of good tight ends as well, Higbee and Everett. So they like to get a lot of people involved. Whereas you sort of look across the Saints, and you know Michael Thomas gets 10 receptions, and then there's Traquan Smith, the rookie from last year, and then Jared Cook didn't have much. Jared Cook was dropped the ball and led to an interception in the first quarter, which wasn't really Drew Brees' fault. You know, he caught it and then turned around and got pummeled. Alvin Kamara only had one reception, so that definitely hurts the Saints all the way around. But in saying that as well, Teddy's no slouch. It's just because he's been put in this situation now. He started week 17 last week. Last year,
when the Saints
had the division and the conference wrapped up. Yeah. And he didn't look very good then, and that was against a pretty poor Carolina team. And I'm pretty sure that was in New Orleans as well. So that doesn't really bode good for him. But now that he's got the chance to start and get those reps with the ones and have a 6 week block of constant starts and not just being thrown in there.
Yeah.
Then I don't know what could happen there. Just the one thing as well, unfortunately we don't really want to harp too much on about this because we got other games to talk about, but the referee blown call, and it's a blown call.
That fumble
that Cam Jordan took back to the house, and they blew the ball dead straight away, and every single aficionado has said that they should have just kept the ball alive and gone on the assumption that it was a fumble, let the play take place, and then you use replay and then go, okay, was it an incomplete pass? Was the arm going forward, or was it a straight up fumble? It was a straight up fumble and another bombed call. That's not going to affect the result so much, but it changes the complexion of the game. If they get that defensive six, then who knows what else happens? It probably doesn't affect the result because the Rams look great.
Just on that, I guess it's just unfortunate it's happened again to the Saints and again against the Rams. Last year. So, but they could have changed the game. Then the Rams probably would have won, you know, with Drew going off. But, a touchdown's a game changer. It still is. It's any game. If it's a run against a play and it's someone scores, it's a game changer. So, but yeah, they're going to have to, it's just Teddy's baptism by fire, which is probably speaking with the next game that I was going to look at, Mason Rudolph, talk about baptism of fire.
At least he knows he's going to start the next 14 games.
I mean, look, the Seahawks won, and the Seahawks only won by two, so they're a 2-0 start. Mason Rudolph, he is their second string quarterback, will now be their number one quarterback. When he come in, he's thrown for two touchdowns with 112 yards. He's thrown in 19 attempts, but only 12 of them were completed. So he didn't really have a bad, game when he come in.
As much as it sort of sucks to be a Saints fan at the moment, but it totally sucks to be a Steelers fan at the moment for losing, you know what you've lost offensively over the last, off season and going into the year before with Le'Veon Bell gone. It's a little disappointing to sort of see Roethlisberger, and it was just innocuous as well. He was just throwing the ball.
Yeah.
So it was a little funny that
probably an
that yeah he sort of had he had those he had those two throws and you could just see straight away that he wasn't enjoying throwing, and then it just comes out that straight up elbow surgery, and his season's finished.
And he's 37 years old too. I mean, I know.
And he signed on for another two more years after this year.
I know Tom Brady can, 42 years old and still, knock on wood, I guess, for every Patriots fan, hasn't really had any too many injury concerns. But, Ben's not a small guy by any means.
He's a rig.
He's a rig. So, it's not going to be a great season for the Steelers. The players have already, the players have already come out, especially Juju, and said they have full trust in Mason Rudolph. He's a great leader in the locker room, so which is really what you want your players to come out and say. But
of course.
It might look. He could all of a sudden pull a Nick Foles and turn their season around, a la the Philadelphia Eagles.
Nick Foles is a bit of a vet, and he's been around a long time. Rudolph, he's pretty green around the gills. That's the ultimate test, isn't it? He just came straight in. Romo got hurt in that preseason game, and they handed the reins off to Prescott. But the other thing was too, Prescott was set up for success as well. He had. An aging Dez Bryant there. Also had Ezekiel Elliott plus one of the best offensive lines in football. So he's going to have time Yeah, it was always going to have, you know, it was set up for success there. So it'll just be interesting to see what this Pittsburgh team now looks like going forward.
I would be.
There's no injury to James Conner. Like there was a bit of a concern that James Conner was going to be hurt. He seems to be fine. So, and Juju Smith-Schuster's got to, you know, he's got to start looking and being a number one.
I just look, if this guy has a great season, and depending on how Ben pulls up, like this could be pushing. Well, I guess all I was getting at before is, does this push Ben, I wouldn't say into retirement, but at least closer to retirement?
Well, I mean, it depends on how he comes back. You know, it's a throwing elbow surgery, so I don't know what NFL quarterbacks go through, if it's the same sort of procedure as what Major League Baseball pitchers go through when they do that Tommy John surgery. I don't know what this would be, whether it would be the same procedure. And you see baseballers come back, and you know, a lot of them look good. So it'll be very interesting to see how he comes back and what he looks like next year. Just in regards to sort of, I guess, because he's a pretty accurate quarterback.
Oh, he's an accurate thrower. So it would all depend on how this elbow. You're right. It all depends on how this elbow heals up, and if he, like you said, he's not a small guy. So if he, I guess, he keeps fit and all that. So, I guess it's just really just a wait and see for him.
Yeah. True. True.
Do we dare talk about the Patriots and Dolphins game? I mean, I'm not gonna go on about Patriots because I mean, I'd be very surprised if anyone picked the Dolphins to win that. But
if you did, it would only be sort of a cover the spread, and even then, you wouldn't have done very well.
You wouldn't have done it. Look, the Dolphins, and this is probably clear with, I believe you were talking before, just off the podcast. They've had a trade in place with the Steelers.
Yeah, that's right. They during the Monday night telecast, it came to light that the Pittsburgh were trading a number one from next year, like a first round pick, to the Miami Dolphins for their fix it all, Mr. Gadget. Safety/cornerback Minka Fitzpatrick, who was a super high draft pick last year.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much the last of the Miami Dolphins' decent players that's gone. So yeah, he's gone to the Steelers, and unfortunately, he's probably not going to a situation that's a whole lot better. It's a little bit better. At least Pittsburgh probably has the chance to actually win a game or multiple games this year, whereas the Miami Dolphins, really, you don't know where their first win is going to come.
They could be the Cleveland Browns or the last few years. I wouldn't say the last, this year and last year, but they're 100% in rebuilding phase. I believe they have now three first-round draft picks next year.
Three in the first next year, and 2 seconds.
So,
most valuable pick now will probably be that, like, obviously their own, which will be quite high.
If not the number one pick. Possibly the Steelers one too, depending on how they play.
The Steelers pick, if they finish, if they finish 4-12, then the Steelers pick could even be a top five. So they could have two top five, top six draft picks in next year's draft. I don't know. Sort of, if you want to go on with Mel Kiper Jr.'s big board and sort of, look through who they need needs everywhere. They have needs everywhere, so they would just have to take the best available player. But there's the possibility that they could take Tua Tagovailoa from Alabama. you know, they've got needs everywhere. So it'll be very interesting to see what the draft line, or you know, what the draft picks look like at the end of this season. You know, we're already thinking about the end of the season already. one little funny quirk thing that I was listening to the Dan Le Batard show this afternoon, just on podcast, and apparently in the Miami Dolphins tailgate outside the stadium before the game, they are setting up stripper poles and having young local Miami girls provide some entertainment. So I guess you can get a little bit of entertainment outside before you go into the game and get completely demoralized. That was a little interesting. I was actually just listening to that before we come on tonight, so I thought that was rather funny because they're a Miami-based show. So yeah,
funnily you say that. I guess just off topic with NBA, I think the Bang Bros company has put a $10 million bid in to rename.
I've seen that as well. Oh my god, that will be.
The Miami NBA.
Hilarious. Yeah, it would be. The American Airlines Arena.
To call it the Bang Bros Arena. Or Bang Bros. It'd be Bang Bros.
please. But can we wish that into existence?
Welcome to the Bang Bros.
Welcome everybody to the Bang Brothers Arena here in downtown Miami.
I mean, we're not going to go into if there's any female listeners in there what Bang Bros is, but it's funny reading the comments on that. A lot of people are saying, does that mean anybody that buys a ticket gets to take the Bang Bus before they get there?
Will it be parked out the front? Free samples for everybody.
That's way off topic, but yeah, Miami.
Oh, wow.
I'll do anything to get people to go.
Oh, man.
That's way off topic. But
I don't
mind. If anything, I think that's trade. Well, I don't want to say trade win, but I like the trade favor in that of Miami Dolphins. Just because they're stockpiling and they, like you said, they need needs everywhere. So
it's just strange that it's happened now that they, do you know what I mean? Like they've given away this first round pick. You know, the news come out about Big Ben today. Yeah. So they would be, there's a definite possibility that it could be a high draft pick. So I don't know why you want to sort of, you know, mortgage the farm. On your own club's future
safety, which is not. I mean, I get it.
For somebody who's going to be in your secondary, like Minka Fitzpatrick's good.
But did they do that before or after Ben got injured?
I'm not sure. I think just on the timeline that I looked at, this the Big Ben news came out earlier, you know, on the Monday. Yep. Over in the States, and then this trade was announced during the Monday night football telecast. So that's nighttime in the States. So it's just interesting to see, or you know, to possibly find out when that actually sort of come through, when they agreed to this trade.
Realistically, you'd have to think it was before Ben got injured, surely. Like,
because, I mean, you're mortgaging the future on a very, very high draft pick.
So potentially. Sorry. I mean, it wouldn't have been high until Ben, potentially high until Ben got injured. No, but now it's potentially going to be high. A couple other games I was going to talk about. Look, Buffalo Bills, 2-0 start. I mean, yes, they're playing. I know that the first two teams they've played haven't been the greatest teams. I mean, this one was against New York Giants, but
two wins on the road.
Correct. I think it's all a test too, because they haven't got the greatest roster in the world. So I think it's all a test to Josh Allen.
Josh Allen, what's the young kid running back there?
Singletary. Yeah.
He's been really good too. So yeah. Josh Allen doesn't really have a lot of weapons to throw to. So Josh Allen's got to use his legs to
Cole Beasley pulled down four carries. So, but
traditionally as well, like your running quarterback, your overly dominant running quarterback, doesn't usually last too long.
Yeah.
In the NFL, but if that's what they're going with, and that's how they think that they can, or you know, how they can win games, then that's how you've got to do it.
Yeah. I mean, they definitely weren't high on my list. Start at 2-0, and next week they've got the Cincinnati Bengals. So there's a high chance that they're going to be one of the few 3-0 teams out there. So,
awesome. Yeah, that's right.
Until they face a decent side, I guess. But, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, every side really, you know, has a chance of winning. So they're doing, something. I mean, it was 28-14, so it wasn't a groundbreaking score, but they just... No. They're just plugging away. That was the thing that I noticed the most. So
the thing is as well, like, why is Eli Manning throwing the ball 45 times when you've got the best running back in the the best running back, top three running back in the game.
Top three have to be top three. So I completely agree.
Why is he throwing the ball 45 times?
I mean, Saquon makes his own. Yeah, he's now got 16 touchdowns for a running back in 18 games, which is absolutely insane. But because he's made, so 18 carries he got for 107 yards, he's making his own plays. Like, I don't think Eli is. So
every time that game kept coming up on the bottom of the screen while I was watching the games on early Monday morning, it first come up Eli Manning 1 for 4, and then it come up Eli Manning 4 for 11. You know, obviously he got a little bit better as the day went on, but you're just like, oh my God, and unfortunately, you know, their targets too aren't terrific. You know, Sterling Shepard has got to try and step in and try and be that number one, that number one receiver now that OBJ's gone, and also Evan Ingram, who's a really good tight end. But when you've got Eli Manning throwing you the ball, you just, all you can do is just is weep for the future for the rest of this year and wait and see what's going to happen with Daniel Jones. And you know, I think the Giants' bye is week 5 or week 6, and if they're 0-6, then Eli Manning's Dunsky.
Yeah, it'd have to be. I mean, you can't have a top six. Oh, look, I mean, it's Eli Manning, so he'll no doubt be in the Hall of Fame, but you can't have a top six draft pick sitting there at least, or not for the whole season at least anyway. So, no. So speaking of 2-0 teams, the other one, and I know you were big on these guys, the 49ers, you know, smashing the Bengals. Yes, the Bengals, but 41-17. Jimmy G. Yeah.
He looked good, and they've also opened up 2-0 on the road. You know, they beat Tampa the week before. I'd like to see the 49ers do well and Jimmy G be healthy. But this week I sort of just want to pump the brakes on them a little bit. They're my overreaction for this week. Are the 49ers that good? Cincinnati took Seattle all the way to the end last week, but Cincinnati looked pretty ordinary.
Yeah.
So I don't know it's been 5 or 6 years since the 49ers has done a lot since Jim Harbaugh left and went to Michigan, and you know, the whole Colin Kaepernick, and then they haven't really had a super established quarterback there.
Yep.
And then, they picked up Jimmy G, and then he had that innocuous injury last year where he was just, sort of running out of bounds and he got hit from the side, ACL, that season done. You know, they're starting people like Nick Mullins. And So you just want to see him healthy. And it's unfortunate that the 49ers lost Tevin Coleman. He's out for a couple of weeks, I think. So, you know, their running game was obviously going to help him a lot. And he's a good running back who also catches passes. But now that they're relying on
Matt Breida.
I was thinking of Matt Breida, and I think it's Raheem Mostert. They don't really catch too much. They're sort of your more traditional sort of fullback slash tailback type players, but they did, their running game was still pretty solid.
Yeah.
So with those two, and they were, I'm pretty sure those two were there last year as well. Definitely Matt Breida was.
Yeah, not sure about Raheem, but definitely Matt Breida was.
I don't think most it was there, and if he was there, he might have been injured. Mm-hmm. So their running games is key, but yeah, Jimmy G looked good, but yeah, we'll just sort of pump the brakes and just see how they look.
Well, they do have Steelers next week.
That'll be in San Francisco, so we correct. Can only assume it'll be in San Francisco. So that'll be interesting to see how he tests out those guys in that Pittsburgh secondary, and now that they've got Minka Fitzpatrick as well. So that'll be an interesting one.
Yeah. Was there any other sort of games that stood out for you?
Just real quick ones. I thought the Jags losing to the Texans going for the 2-point conversion, I thought was a gutsy move, and obviously didn't pay off. So they lost by one. I think it was 13-12. So that was a bit of a killer. But the big one for me, well, not so much a big one, but just sort of one that sort of had a little bit of controversy at the end there was the Bears win over Denver. In Denver, the what I thought was a bit of a BS roughing the passer call at the end, two plays later. Yeah, it was by Bradley Chubb on Trubisky, and I thought there was absolutely nothing wrong with it. Absolutely nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, well, that would end up being the game-winning field goal
two plays later, they got a 15-yard penalty. Yep. Two plays later, they kick a 53-yard field goal to break their hearts at the end. So with the way that they're sort of funneling the rules at the moment to try and protect quarterbacks, it's football, and if you're going to get hit, like have a look who's gone already this year. Nick Foles, Drew Brees, and Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
And the whole, and I think I said it on, I might have said it on last week's pod as well, about the whole reason they're doing this was because that couple of years ago, I think it was 2017, where I think it was Aaron Rodgers, and it's the whole body weight on top of the quarterback. So if you hit them flush right in front and then you land on them, yeah, that's obviously a roughing the passer call, blah, blah, blah. But it's football. You're gonna get hit, and unfortunately, it's a byproduct of the game. And sometimes quarterbacks get hit, and that's just the way it is.
That's just the way it is, correct?
So roles reverse, right? So say if it wasn't Aaron Rodgers that got hurt in that game in 2017, let's fast forward to this year. Say it's Gardner Minshew. Do you know what I mean? Just say it's Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah.
Is there going to be this much, you know, ensuing insanity of, oh my God, like, well, we need to protect the quarterback. We've got to have anybody who farts near the quarterback, oh, that's it. It's a roughing the passer and it's a 15-yard penalty. It's crazy. It's football. You're going to get hit, and people are going to get hurt.
It's possibly why Tom Brady has such a longevity, his career's in longevity, and he can play till he's 45 because he's,
if you've got the offensive line to protect you, then you can play as long as you want. Breeze is 40.
Yeah, yeah.
Big Ben's 37.
Yeah.
You know, or you have a look at the guys that are sort of advancing in age and they've been protected. So is and who's not by the why is that
by the NFL or well, I guess by the NFL.
It's starting to become just crazy with these with these roughing the passer calls. There was a couple today in the Browns Jets game where Myles Garrett came through and he is just a machine.
Oh, he's
on and time. He come through and just blasted Simeon and blasted Luke Falk. And they're giving these roughing the passer, It's not, his fault that he can't that they can't protect the quarterback. If you've got a subpar offensive line, well, guess what? That's on your team.
Yeah, correct.
It's ridiculous.
It feels like the certain ones they will get away with it.
Take Aaron Rodgers out of the equation. Well, yeah, what happens if it's Trevor Siemian that gets hurt? He's gone for the season. I think it was the same thing as what happened to Nick Foles this year. It was a broken collarbone. That's what the injury was with Aaron Rodgers. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was, and it knocked him out for the season. And then all of a sudden it's this hysteria that, oh my God, we can't touch the quarterback, and it's a quarterback driven league. I understand that, but it's get better on the offensive line.
Yeah,
just get better. And again, that's hard to do as well. But it's infuriating to see, you know, when you've got players like Myles Garrett, or when you've got players like Aaron Donald, that can break through the line. And could you imagine if someone like Troy Polamalu played in this type of era? He was ferocious, and he used to hammer quarterbacks. And you're almost a detriment to your team because you're giving away first downs and 15 yards.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, and that's why, it's great to see all these longevity of quarterbacks. But I guess you're frustrated when you're like Myles Garrett, like you said before, is an absolute beast. But if he thinks he's got a hold up now,
exactly.
To do these hits, it takes
away from the position. It takes away from being an effective pass rusher. And that's one of the most important. You know, that's also, you know, along with the quarterback, but that's one of the most important positions in the NFL is a pass rusher.
Yeah, correct. The other couple, I mean, there were sort of the games that sort of stood out. Just with a little bit of news that's sort of come out in a couple of things. Jalen Ramsey requesting a trade from the Jags. Although he always seems to speak every time, but this time he wants a trade.
He's very outspoken. I think it's probably a bit of a boil over from last season as well, where Jacksonville had a pretty ordinary sort of season. Defensively, obviously, offensively as well, with Blake Bortles as your quarterback, that's gonna frustrate the hell out of anybody. But I think it's a bit of a boil over from last season into this season. Like, they haven't looked terrific defensively. Obviously, that they started off with an impossible task in trying to stop Kansas City in the first week. But apparently there was a bit of a sideline confrontation between coach and Jalen Ramsey during the game on Sunday.
I think it's the first quarter, correct.
Yeah, this has come out today. So supposedly there's I think management there in Jacksonville have had talks with teams, but Jacksonville. Yeah. At the point of us recording this right now, have no plans to trade him at this point in time.
I find that interesting for the fact of, I'm comparing NRL and, well, not NRL, but any sort of sports or NFL, is that with NFL, I love it. I think if the player wants out, the teams don't muck around and get him out because they know it's just going to wreck chemistry. It seems like, I mean, look, this might change for Jalen as well, but I find with other sports, like a la NBA and a few other sort of sports, unless they get, you know, massive trades and all that, they seem to hold them as long as, and happy for their contract to run out. Whereas The NFL, they, yeah, when they're done, they just say, well, you don't want to be with us, and fine, we'll find some sort of the, option to sort of get rid of you. So it just feels, I guess I like that. I like that. Like, if that's going to disrupt the team, then let, you know, let's cut ties. Like, you know, let's sort of be done with it.
Yeah. Yeah. When it's somebody like who's as good as Jalen Ramsey as well, right, like, you know, it's
hard.
It's the ultimate team game because, you know, there's 53 men on the roster. You know, there's an offensive team, there's a defensive team, there's special teams, there's a punt return team. Do you know what I mean? Like there's all sorts of little cliques in amongst each locker room. So it's just I the only reason I don't really sort of like it is just the fact that we're having a bit of a rough trot. Oh, that's it. I want out of here. I'm done with this place. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know only one person can only do so much.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, so it must be like beating your head up against the wall. It's like, wow, you know, I can only do so much. But and everybody wants to win. I don't want to hear this garbage that, oh, I want to win. I want to go somewhere that's going to win everything. Everybody wants to win. You think the Detroit Lions, you know, however many years ago, went out there and wanted to go 0-16? The Cleveland Browns wanted to go 0-16. Like, everybody is out there and wants to win. So I just don't like it, you're in a bit of a bad situation. Oh, that's it. Yep, I'm done. I want out of here. Oh, but yeah, by the way, trade me to New England. Trade me to LA. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like they try and do these and try and force these trades. It was the same sort of situation with Jadeveon Clowney at the start of the year.
Yeah.
Miami were looking at bringing him in, and he just went, nah, don't want to go there. And then all of a sudden a deal comes up with Seattle, and it's like, totally. Yeah. They're a winner. They've got, yep, I want to go. I'll go there.
You think it's sort of getting to more like what the NBA is, whereas player power.
It'll happen. It's just unfortunately not everybody likes where they work and what city they live in or anything like that. But you know what? You're getting paid, especially for these sort of high profile sort of players. You're getting paid pretty damn good if you're an established player. You don't have to worry about mini camps and training camps and all the BS they do at the start. And then you might have a little bit of preseason. So essentially you're working for 17 weeks. And then if you make the playoffs, happy days.
Yeah.
That's the thing that sort of, is just frustrating to me a little bit. Like, you know, everybody wants to be in a situation where they do like where they work. But unfortunately, that's life. And
get over it. In other words,
that's right. Not everybody likes their working situation and where they work. So it's just, you know, head down, bum up, and get to work.
Well, that is. I mean, that's a perfect way for me to finish it. Not only obviously for what you said, but for anybody out there with actual jobs. Look, we all don't like our jobs, but you just got to head down, bum up, and sort of get on with it, I guess. So. That'll sort of, I guess, sort of do it for the week. We look at sort of previewing, the next week's sort of games, following on if anyone's sort of interested in that, but, we'll be talking about week 3, week 4, pretty much all season. If I guess everybody's, has that interest of NFL, which will be good because we have a huge interest in NFL.
What's a couple of games next week that might catch your eye?
Probably the ones we talked about before. The couple of games that. It's a couple of games that I'm really surprised with. I can't really, you know, the Steelers game where they may win, I highly, highly doubt it. But probably just those couple of those 2-0 teams that are, I guess, to see if they're going to fall into that sort of 3-0. The one I think stood out was my boys, the Dallas Cowboys.
They are going to beat the living hell out of the Dolphins. Give me a break.
Yeah.
If they don't beat them by 40, then there's something up.
Yeah, but
it's in Big D. They are going to eat them alive.
I'm always scared with sort of. I mean, I guess if it's my team, but I'm always scared with teams like someone's got to lose to one of the worst teams. So it just scares me that yes, you're right. It's at Cowboys and they should win, but I don't know.
They got a 21 on the line. They got a 21-point line. That's not going to be enough.
You don't. Yeah. So you're. Yeah. You really,
I'd be betting the overs.
Well, I mean, probably the Steelers game. Look, I know the 49ers are going great, but I think if Mason Rudolph can pull it off, they only lost by two, like to the Seahawks. They still have a huge chance of winning that game. Yes, they're playing at San Francisco, but it will be interesting.
People are scared of going to San Francisco.
Probably the main game that really stands out is the two let's call them the hype teams. The LA Rams going to Cleveland Browns. So this could be a real test for the Cleveland Browns to see where they're at. I guess for the year. I know it's only round three.
That's the main game, sort of Sunday night game. So yeah, that'll be interesting. Me, the one that I sort of like to look at next week is Baltimore at Kansas City. I think that's gonna be a fun game to watch.
Two young quarterbacks.
So yeah, it'll be and just sort of a little bit of a different dynamic as well. You know, with Lamar Jackson liking to run a little bit just to see what. Is to see what sort of the Kansas City defense can do against somebody like that. So I think that's got the possibility to be a super high scoring game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next week's Monday night game is going to be woof. Yeah, Chicago at Washington. That's going to be a poop fest. That. But yeah, definitely. I think Ravens Chiefs.
will be
a fun game next week.
Interestingly enough, just looking at the rankings for them, just to sort of finish off. These are the rankings against the Ravens and the Chiefs. The offense, Ravens are ranked first, Chiefs are ranked third. The defense, Ravens are ranked second, the Chiefs are ranked 19th. But then we were coming to the other bits, passing. Clearly, the Chiefs are coming first with Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomes passed for 278 yards. And I think it was like two touchdowns in the second quarter of the game this week. Like, good God.
And the Ravens, the first in rushing, purely because their quarterback is pretty much built like a running back to me. So
it's John Harbaugh that's the one that's sort of designing those plays specifically for him as well. And they've got a bit of a workhorse there in Mark Ingram as well. So and the other thing is too, with Big Ben going down, that AFC North division, the odds of winning that just got a little bit better for either Cleveland or Baltimore. So it'll be interesting when those two teams sort of, you know, obviously they meet each other twice every year. So, you know, a lot will be on the line with those two games in the coming, you know, in the near future.
Yeah, and then looking at the last year when they both met, the Ravens only lost by three. So, and this is with a red hot Chiefs team towards Christmas. So it could be a very interesting game, like you were just saying. So
Mahomes is just going to be throwing it all over the joint
he's another level.
it's ridiculous. Like, you know, how many teams passed on him, and what did Andy Reid see in this young kid to take him where he did. You know, I think the team that would be ruining not drafting him and drafting up to take Mitch Trubisky would be the Chicago Bears.
Yeah,
they traded up. They traded up to get Trubisky. He'd had one season as a full-time starter at North Carolina, which isn't a football school at all. Yeah. He had one season, and they're just like, yeah, no, we're going to trade up to grab him. And you're like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, even Lamar Jackson, I think he went at the end of the first round of that year. Correct. 2017.
Yeah, that was a very quarterback-heavy draft, that. So I'm assuming the only thing that came out when I sort of rewatched that draft not long ago, actually, is just the his arm strength and his arm speed, that Andy Reid must have caught the eye of that.
Well, it's supposedly Reid's a bit of a quarterback whisperer as well. So, you know, why couldn't he do that? Yeah, you know, why couldn't he do that with when he had Alex Smith? You know, for those first couple of years that he was in. You know, that he was in Kansas City. So, you know, Alex Smith's a pretty good and solid quarterback. Mm-hmm. And obviously Mahomes is just there. Yeah, he's otherworldly. He's just on another level. So, is it too much to say? Is it a system? Is he a system quarterback? Could he come out? Yeah, could he come out and do that with anybody? Could you plug him into plug him into the New York Giants, put him behind that New York Giants offensive line, and is he going to do the same things? A lot of quarterbacks would struggle with a poor offensive line and bad scheming. You know, bad offensive scheming. So. Look at Jared Goff. He looked horrendous in those first couple of seasons that he was at the LA Rams. And then all of a sudden Sean McVay comes in and he's the new young mastermind, you know, in the godfather to Cliff Kingsbury. It's Jared Goff looks terrific.
Yeah. I mean, having a lot of wide receivers and running backs too always helps too for Jared Goff. But I'm still not fully sold on Jared Goff. Not yet. I mean,
neither am I. I'm not 100% sold on him because purely you took a look at that that Super Bowl effort, and they didn't have Todd Gurley.
Yeah,
and it just didn't look pretty.
No, it didn't. And, I'm surprised you're still talking about it, considering they probably shouldn't be there anyway. But
there's no probably about it. But anyway,
yeah,
they got what they deserved in the Super Bowl.
That's another podcast. We'll see what happens when we get to the finals for them.
They got exactly what was coming to them.
Well, yeah, have a good week.
Hashtag not salty.
No, definitely not. Don't forget to check us out on our socials. Like I said before, all the socials out there at the start. If you're listening at the start of the podcast, yeah, you're very salty. Have a good week, like I always say. I'm Jason, not salty Smith.
I'm Miles, and I'm Miles, very salty Plum.
Have a good week, everyone.
Enjoy your football on the weekend, people. See ya.
Peace.